Welcome to the program, God and Country, where we look at current events from a biblical point of view. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and here we are continuing to chronicle the signs of the times, the decline of national morals, and the rise of the Antichrist spirit. The recent revelations of the NSA, the National Security Agency, its data mining of phone calls and emails of all Americans, is really a telltale sign of what is to come. Revelation 13:4, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? See, the exposure of the NSA's current snooping is alarming, but it's not the real story here. What is startling is the surveillance capacity of these government data centers, which will in doubt be someday used to target the enemies of the state. Not just terrorists, but those who embrace a worldview contrary to this world, the Christian worldview. Now let's review the unfolding events. Edward Snowden, a 25-year-old contractor for the National Security Agency, reported that the NSA was snooping on everyone's emails and phone calls, that the NSA had access to the databases of Verizon and AT&T, Microsoft, Google, and that the government is able to mine data from everyone's phone calls, emails, web searches. I was actually surprised that this was considered news. And I was surprised that certain politicians were calling Snowden a traitor for letting terrorists know about our surveillance capacities, when they most likely knew about this all along. We did. If we were paying any attention, this was the whole controversy behind the Patriot Act. Back in 2001, Congress signed into law permission for the government to snoop on phone calls, emails, web searches. And ever since then, the NSA has been building data centers to do just that. Now, what the public wrongly assumed was that the government was identifying possible terrorists, then going to a judge for a warrant to listen in on their phone calls. But instead, what is happening is that the NSA is listening in on many phone calls to identify possible terrorists. Now, back in 2005, when questions were raised about the Patriot Act and how it was being used, President Bush assured the public that, quote, "I want to make it clear to the American people that this program is limited in nature to those who are Al-Qaeda operatives and their affiliates," unquote. But in reality, in order to find terrorists, the NSA needs to data mine all phone conversations. Now, before President Obama came into office, he and the rest of the Democratic Party railed against the Patriot Act as being a violation of our fundamental rights. But now, once in power, President Obama and his party have decided that they like the Patriot Act. In a recent news interview, the president defended the actions of the NSA, saying we have to sacrifice privacy in order to achieve security. General Keith Alexander, head of the NSA, said during a Senate hearing on the issue that the NSA is not collecting information on all individual callers or eavesdropping on American conversations without warrant. He went on to claim that the NSA has mechanisms in place so that data mining will not be abused. One official defended the program by saying, "Data shifting is done not by humans, but by computers, following complicated algorithms telling them what to look for and who has the right to see it. Through software, you can search for keywords and key phrases, linking a communication to a particular group or an individual that would fire it off to individual agencies that have an interest in it. Just like Amazon and Google scan millions of emails and purchases to track consumer preferences." Well, that testimony doesn't make me less concerned. It makes me more concerned. What keywords and what key phrases, what particular individuals or groups can the government target? Now, we've discovered that the NSA has two programs. One program collects hundreds of millions of U.S. phone records. The second program gathers audio, visual, emails, photographs, internet searches of both foreigners and Americans. Now, the NSA is claiming that with their surveillance, they have been able to prevent 50 terrorist attacks. And so this is all very easy to justify in the name of national defense. But whistleblowers, investigative reporters, tech-savvy citizens are all saying something different. Let me just list a few of the recent revelations. Facebook received between 9,000 and 10,000 government requests from all government entities, from local to federal, in the last 6 months. The requests involved the accounts of between 18,000 and 19,000 Facebook users. Microsoft reported that they have received thousands of requests from the U.S. government to turn over user data. Democratic Congressman Gerald Nadler disclosed to reporters that in a closed-door briefing to Congress, NSA officials said that analysts listened to domestic telephone calls without a court order, and analysts could also access the content of internet communications without court permission. They said that the executive branch has defended its general warrants, claiming that the president had the constitutional authority, no matter what the law actually says, to order domestic spying without constitutional warrants. There is a mathematician named William Binney, who worked for the NSA for 40 years. He actually helped to design the data mining systems. He and several other former NSA employees have gone public with their concerns that the NSA spying agency has created a massive digital dragnet to secretly track the communications of Americans. So Snowden is not the only one blowing the whistle on the NSA. Then there was the recent Nightline story where two NSA workers, David Falk and Andrea Kinney, came forward saying that the agency had been listening in on private phone conversations that had nothing to do with terrorism. Their testimony is contained in a new book against the NSA called The Shadow Factory. And when these two NSA workers began to question the program, the higher-ups at the NSA said, "It's not your job to ask questions." Other news items that I have here on my desk, Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, he introduced the Patriot Act back in 2001. Even he now believes that the administration has gone far beyond what the Patriot Act originally intended. Sensenbrenner said that Section 215 of the Act was originally drafted to prevent data mining on the scale that has occurred. So he wants the Patriot Act amended to protect Americans' privacy. I recently took some time to look into the government's right to access information on the web. It's very vague, and most people are clueless. But back in 1986, Congress passed the Electronic Communication Privacy Act, the EPCA. It was supposed to increase privacy in an age where people were starting to use electronic mail. But what it allows for is that after 180 days, your emails lose their status as protected communication, and government agencies can access your emails without a warrant. After 180 days, the law states you have abandoned that information. All the government needs is a subpoena to show that your information is necessary in some investigation. No judicial review is required. Now, when that law was originally passed, emails were only stored on servers for a short period of time. But now all emails are stored almost indefinitely, and the government has a right to look at those emails. Furthermore, if your information is stored on your personal computer, then there's a need for a warrant. But now everyone is using cloud services, where the content of one's computer is downloaded and stored off-site. The ECPA law also allows government agencies to access data on who you call or email. This is called traffic. And since it's not actually revealing the content of your communications, the government can look at this at any time. The bottom line is this. Just assume that anything you put or send on the World Wide Web, the government can look at. Now, here's the ethical question that Christians must answer. Is the NSA doing something illegal or morally wrong? What is the difference between a cop on the beat in the 19th century walking up and down the street looking for crimes being committed or looking to identify the face of a known criminal, and a cop in the 21st century scanning the internet for criminals, for terrorists, for illegal activity. He is doing in cyberspace what people have been doing in real space for centuries. And now that lawlessness abounds in our post-Christian world, the state needs even more avenues through which to fulfill its God-given duty as an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. The ungodly state has to manage the lawlessness of its own citizens. So what is wrong with government surveillance? And if there is right and wrong government surveillance, where do we draw the line? The problem is the power of surveillance in the hands of evil government leaders is a quick path to a totalitarian state which cannot easily be overthrown. And for that reason, our forefathers wrote into the Constitution protections against federal government surveillance. Article 4 of the Bill of Rights reads, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause." Now, why did our forefathers give us this right? What were they protecting us from? Well, in the 1700s, the Crown of England had the right to enter into your house and look at everything you owned. The founders wanted to limit the right of government because government, by God's design, has only a limited authority and function. The state is not God. And the institution of the family and the church and the individual has its own sphere of authority where the state cannot intrude. Therefore, the state does not need to, nor does not have the right to, know all. That is fundamental to the limited government concept in America. Secondly, the founders always wanted citizens to have a power over government so as to be able to stop tyranny if it arises. If the government can intrude into your privacy at any time, then private citizens have no defense against despotism. Even the ACLU understands this and has now filed suit against the Obama administration to stop the phone tracking program of the NSA. A government that has such powers of surveillance can use that power to target political enemies. And we don't have to wonder if this will someday take place. It's taking place now. At the same time the NSA snooping stories were breaking, so were a number of other stories about the federal government's abuse of its power. The IRS scandal, the private records of individuals and their political donations to conservative causes were leaked from the IRS to liberal action groups. And it's been discovered that the Department of Justice has been monitoring the personal phone calls of Fox News reporter James Rosen because the administration did not like the fact that the media reported on a story about a successful terrorist operation before President Obama could announce the event. Even more alarming is a report that Cheryl Atkinson, one of the reporters in the mainstream media who has been investigating the Benghazi cover-up, she has had her computer hacked. A cybersecurity firm hired by CBS News has determined that her computer was accessed by an external party many times in 2012. Her data was searched. And this was not a typical virus, but it was at the level of sophistication that points to a government agency, such as the NSA or the Justice Department. You know, with unprincipled people running many departments of government, government cannot be trusted. And even though President Obama, in a recent speech, told us that we should reject those voices who say tyranny is always lurking just around the corner, these recent revelations should inspire us to listen to those voices all the more. Now, the response from the current administration and the NSA is that the surveillance is necessary for safety. We need to give up a certain amount of privacy in order to be protected by the government. Now, let's look at this argument. First, we must realize that it also works the other way. We always need to give up a little safety for the sake of privacy. Why are we willing to give up some safety? Because if we give up too much privacy, we will end up in a worse state of affairs than the threat of terrorism. And that is a big brother state. We don't trust terrorists, we don't trust criminals, and we also do not trust big government. And in America, we've always been willing to give up much of our safety in order to maintain our privacy. Benjamin Franklin said those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Now, how did he know to say such things 250 years ago? Because this has been an issue since the beginning of time. And Americans have decided that we will not give up all privacy for safety. There are people out there who say very glibly, you know, we must stop terrorism at all costs. And that kind of thinking justifies unlimited bureaucracy. It allows federal agencies to expand their power. Somebody just told me the other day, this post-11 culture has created a lot of useless jobs for the bureaucrats. What do they do all day? Is it really necessary? The NSA employs 30,000 people at the cost of $6 billion a year. When is it too much? Maybe we ought to cut in half the NSA and self-protect ourselves from terrorism. Many people are pointing to the Boston bombers. Here we have billions of dollars of sophisticated listening devices, and we didn't even listen to the Russians who sent us a memo to watch out for those brothers in Boston. Most terrorism can be stopped in old-fashioned ways. Well, here is the real lesson we should take from all of these revelations about the NSA. I believe the Lord is giving us a forewarning of what is to come. Everything is in place for the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13, the economic and social control of the global reign of the Antichrist. It is not as if we have to wait on some prophecy to be fulfilled before the end, some technology to be invented, some level of iniquity to be achieved. It could all go down tomorrow. Think about what is possible now in our computer age. The NSA was created in 1952. It was not known to the public for many years. It received the nickname No Such Agency. Now the NSA has just had its groundbreaking ceremony at Fort Meade for its high-performance computing center called Site-M. 1.8 million square feet of building. It costs $3.2 billion, covers 227 acres. There will be 14 administration buildings, 10 parking garages. The center will have a 150 megawatts power station. That's enough to power a small city. Why is so much power needed? A massive computer system. The future plans are stage 2 and 3, which will quadruple the space to 5.8 million square feet. The NSA also has facilities in Georgia, Texas, Colorado, Hawaii. The data and the computer power are duplicated at these other places just in case of a terrorist attack. The NSA has just finished a $1.7 billion, 1.5 million square foot data storage facility in Salt Lake City. And there is enough storage there to record every single phone call. Now, NASA claims that's not listening in on people's phone calls. But that does not mean that they're not storing the phone call for future reference. The NSA also operates in the UK, the largest electronic monitoring station in the world. The base covers 562 acres. If the Empire of the Beast has anything to do with computers, the computer capacity already exists. And one of the questions that's bantered around tech sites is how big is the cloud? In other words, how much storage is out there in cyberspace? Just take Google alone. They have 15 server farm facilities around the world, and it's estimated that they have 500,000 servers. Now, Google doesn't reveal how much they store or what they store, but it's commonly accepted that Google has stored all the information on the entire internet. I often think about Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, and the mark of the beast. And I often think in terms of the government having a database that is able to store everyone's financial records and their transactions. But that would hardly take any computer power and storage at all. That was achieved years ago. What has already been built can far exceed that objective. Given the size of these government data centers, experts believe they have the capacity to store the information on every single personal computer. It is really amazing how easy it is to store and manipulate data. My personal computer database is about 50 gigs. which is larger than most people, and it includes every financial spreadsheet I have ever made, every email, every sermon, I have over 5,000, every God and Country script and audio, the database for my church's website and the God and Country radio website. All of that data can be consolidated onto a micro SD chip the size of my fingernail. And that's the fingernail on my little finger. And the cost for such a chip would be less than $10. Google will give you 15 gigs of storage space for free. Just 10 years ago, that was unheard of. The storage capacity and the computing capacity to control the lives of everyone is already in place. The NSA can store not only the metadata of every phone call, but the conversation itself, and every email, every picture, every database. You have a picture of you on your driver's license? That is in a national facial recognition database. Whenever the state wants to make a case against you for any particular reason or ideology, it can retrieve the information. We are in a new age where people have the power to control, a power that they never had before. And I have no doubt that this technology is of the Lord, so that in the last days, mankind will have the resources to show what is really on the heart of man. Evil has been restrained for centuries, because evil never had the power to achieve what it desires. Those in authority were constrained by distance, by the inability to control vast numbers of people and their activities. And one of the complaints against communism has always been that it failed, not because it was wrong, but because it was not possible for the state to adequately regulate so many people and so much information. It only failed because it was inefficient. After the Iron Curtain fell, the West discovered in East Germany warehouses stuffed with paper files with all sorts of details about East German citizens. It was impossible at that time for the communist government of East Germany to really manage and utilize that information. But now with advanced computer technology, it would be easy. The computer age is inspiring and justifying all sorts of new policies and ideologies, and communism, they say, needs to be tried again. This time it'll work. This time it will be better because now we have the tools to control. With the new technology, Babel is possible. Remember the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 10? The goal was unity. And the Lord divided the people because God would not allow man to have centralized control. Why? Because nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So God divided up the nations. But in the book of the Revelation, we see Babel back on the stage of human history, the world empire called the beast. And nothing which the beast purposes to do will be impossible. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. The beast controls all, the beast sees all, and you cannot hide from the beast. The people cry out, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? Because he has consolidated control. You can't even buy or sell without the permission of the beast. You must be linked into the empire. He will cause all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the freemen and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. You know, biometric identification is already a reality. Just recently in India, 37 million people had been given biometric identity numbers as part of a new project. To quote, create a mammoth online database aimed at ensuring that poor people have better access to government and financial services from which they are often excluded. You know also that functionally, we are already a cashless society. My own sons rarely use cash. Paychecks are automatically deposited, and they use their debit card throughout the week for all of their purchases. The system to control the world is already in place. And don't think that the world is going to be opposed to the beast. All the world will glory in the power that the beast has. They will worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they will worship the beast It's quite alarming that a recent Pew survey showed that in regard to the NSA program, Americans favor security over privacy 2-1. The day is coming that the world will be all for a one-world government to secure peace, justice for everyone. The enemies of the state can be rounded up. Those against state policy, those who say things to offend, those who spread what is defined as hate speech. So I believe that the real lesson we are learning from all of these revelations about the NSA is not that there is a big conspiracy right now, but the stage is being set. The system that will be used by the Antichrist has been built by people who have a remnant of Christian morals, but eventually it will be taken over by evil. Now finally, there's another side to the story that is an encouragement to God's people. What we see in all this is a sign of the world's fear and insecurity. This insatiable need for data mining and surveillance is so over the top that it must be driven by more than just 9/11 terrorism. On a subconscious level, fear is driving the world to want more and more control. Just like the ancients would build towers to see and to spy, and fortifications to protect their empires, the world, the devil, and the demons are actually quite insecure. What are they afraid of? Judgment, truth, the loss of power, prestige, wealth, the destruction of their Babylon. And they hope that through technology, they will gain and keep power. They think that it'll give them the advantage that they need. And they can't live with uncertainty. They are driven by the need to know, by the need to control people in the future. Remember this truth if you are to understand the world today. Modern man is driven by fear, especially modern man who is living in rebellion to God. Now, the best defense against our enemy is God and righteousness, but the world has neither. And so they cling to whatever they can to build a defense, and they will spend whatever it takes. And when the day comes when ungodly individuals think that by their surveillance they can persecute the church, then the joke is really on them. Because in the end, it will not be God's people hiding from their surveillance. It will be the ungodly cowering in fear of God's surveillance. Revelation chapter 6. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich men and the strong and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See, it's not the eyes of man we need to fear, but the all-searching eyes of God. For every idle word that man speaks, he will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So do not fear him who can kill the body, but he who can cast both soul and body into hell. For the books are going to be open, and men will be judged out of those things written in God's books. And if man has the capacity to store every word written and spoken in cyberspace, how much more does God have the ability? You have been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. At our website, godandcountryradio.org, you can listen to or download this program or other past programs. There you can contact us with questions, comments, suggestions. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Hope you continue to listen and keep growing in the Lord and in His truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what confidence and boldness we have through Jesus Christ. That's not the eyes of men we need to fear, but the eyes of the Lord. And you have died for our sins. And because of our faith in you, you have hidden our sins behind your back so that we can be saved. May those around us come to realize the salvation and hope found in you. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.